Anybody ever have a sales rep come by their house? Anybody ever do that? And do you love that experience? Somebody you have no idea who they are, walk up to your house or to your apartment, and you're going, I think I just want to go in the other room, sit in the back, close the shades, be super quiet, and eventually they're going to go away. Right? I had a couple weeks ago, I had a sales rep coming through the neighborhood where I live and came to the door, knocked on the door. I go out and did a really good job of being socially distanced. And so I certainly appreciated that. And he was trying to influence me to purchase his company's security system. And so I, you know, I listened to him and, you know, he actually was doing a pretty good job as a young guy. And he was did a really good job of knowing what he needed to say, knowing about the product he was trying to sell, and knowing why he thought that I needed and would be better off using that product that he had to offer that day. Now, I didn't buy it because it wasn't in my financial plan for the rest of the year. Kind of already had those ducks in a row. But I certainly appreciate the fact of how good of an influencer and a communicator he was, and I was impressed. Now, this series we're in, we've called Disciples, and this idea, what does a Christ follower look like? Now, some of you are already probably connecting the dots and going, he better not be saying, I've got to be a salesperson for Jesus. And I'll tell you right now, you don't need to sell Jesus, and you don't need to defend God in the world. He's pretty well able to do that on his own. He's God. However, I will honestly say to us, no matter where we are, that we really are called to be disciples who make disciples through influencing others with the good news of Jesus Christ. That really at the heart, that's what a disciple is kind of doing in the world. We're encouraging the world to turn to faith in Jesus Christ, to have their sins forgiven, and to have a sense of hope and peace and joy and love. On the wall behind me here, right? We thoroughly believe in that here at New Hope. This is the work that Jesus does. And so we want the world to know that. And so we have to, you know, tell that story. And so I want to take that today and go to Matthew chapter 28, to our next verse that we've been in this passage. It's the Great Commission passage. If you haven't been with us, either on-site or online, we've been in Matthew chapter 28, and we start in 16. And so now we've made it all the way to 19. And so I want to read this. It's not going to take real long, as you can tell. But here Jesus has already said that he's the Lord of heaven and earth. And so he has all authority. And based on his position as the Lord of heaven and earth, he is saying, now, my followers, this is what I want you to do. The therefore, right? And so here's what he says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So, hey, if you're at home with me, like I'm at your house, if you're at home or on site with us today, can you do me a favor? Can we just, as short as that is, can we just read that out loud together? Would you do that? Just read that out loud together. And I promise if you're at a coffee shop or something, people might think you're a little weird, but that's all right. Just do it anyway. So can we do that loud? Do you mind if you can read that? Let's do it. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Man. Go and make disciples. Go influence people to trust and follow Jesus. Influence people to trust and follow Jesus. That's our mission. That's a little scary, but it's still our mission. So I want to ask the question, what makes us a good influencer? If that's at the heart of what it is we're supposed to really be doing, because I can't make somebody follow Jesus, right? You can't make anybody do that. I can't tell you enough good stuff that would convince you, like, to make you do it. Like, you've got to decide, like, is that something you want to do or not? That's right. It's an act of faith. And so my best effort is to influence you for why that is the best decision for your life, right? And so what might make us a good influencer? Is it all the knowledge about the scriptures so that I can have a Bible and I can open it up and I can teach you anything anywhere? Do I have to be a dynamic communicator to be able to do that well, to influence people with the good news? Do I have to have tons of confidence? You ever met that person? They are so confident. It's like they're just dripping with confidence when they walk, you know? Do I have to be that kind of person? Do I have to have the gift of evangelism to be able to influence people with the good news of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection? Do I have to have a big stage production with amazing lights and sounds, singers, and all the tech? Do I have to have all of those things to really be a good influencer? Do I have to have a lot of good luck? Do I have to have good looks? I'm not even going to touch that one today with a joke. I'm just letting that go because that's never going to come out right if I say anything else. I'm going to move on, okay? So moving on. Do I need to be like the Apostle Paul? Do I need to be like maybe John Wesley or John Calvin? Do I need to maybe be like Billy Graham? Do I need to be a Charles Stanley, an Andy Stanley, Matt Chandler, D.L. Moody? Do I need to maybe be like Stephen Furtick at Elevation Church? You know, it's like, do I need to be like all those things I described, like those people, in order to really be a good influencer with the good news? What do you think? No, absolutely not. And if you're home, I hope you said no, because you really don't have to be like all of that. And the reality is that those are things that tend to get glamorized. And the truth of the matter is that you and I are all different. And so there's no way that you're ever going to be like somebody else that has come before you. You're just not. And we all shape differently. So you have different spiritual gifts and passions and abilities and personality and life experiences that you bring to the table that these other people, they don't bring to the table. They just don't. So you are uniquely you, and yet you have been uniquely called by God to make disciples who make disciples. And you go, whoa, that's pretty cool. I think so. So what might make you a good influencer then? So here you go. Y'all ready for this? All right, I know. I can't help it. Every time I just want to go there. Someday we're going to get the music in the background and we'll pump it in and we'll be like, it's going to be a boxing match today. It's like, no, it's not. We're going to preach. So here's one of the things that I think is critically important, and I want to just unpack this for a couple minutes. Know the good news. Do you know what I mean by the good news? Know the good news. You know, let me say this first. You know, I was thinking on this idea, and I thought, you know, if I can think back to some of the most convincing people, most influential people that I've ever listened to or tried to teach me something or counsel me in something, convince me in something, I would say, for me, I thought back, I thought, you know, I think the most influential ones are the ones that knew exactly what they wanted to say. They knew why it mattered to me, why it would matter. Like, they understood. They were very clear about that. I didn't have to try to figure it out. Like they knew. And I think that same thing applies to making disciples. How many of you have ever heard the phrase 30-second elevator pitch? You kind of heard that idea? You think, are we in church or are we in marketing class today? Well, I guess it's one and the same for the moment. But the 30-second elevator pitch is really this. Let's say you were in an elevator with somebody for 30 seconds and you had that amount of time, just you and that other person, to tell them what you wanted them to know. You wanted to convince them of something, to communicate very clearly to a succinct point. What would you say to them in that 30 seconds if that's all you had? So if you only had 30 seconds to tell somebody about Jesus, what would you say in that 30 seconds to encourage them, urge them to know him? Come to know him if they didn't. Like, what would you say? And you know, here's the deal. Like, I've been doing ministry for over 15 years maybe, I guess now. And here's what I have found. Most of us that are believers, we know the idea. If I said, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know what he did and you know why he did it? Almost every one of us would go, yes, because we understand the idea, the concept of what Jesus has done. Now, if I said to you, can you tell me in 30 seconds who Jesus is, what he did, and why he did it? For me, over the 15 years, probably maybe 99% of people in the church who have been in the church for a while and would say, hey, yes, to I know those three answers, struggle to be able to put it into a succinct response. They do. Like, well, I know it. It's like, can you tell it to me? And they go, well, because you don't, like, I don't know what words exactly to use. I know the idea, but how do I really communicate that clearly so that somebody could easily in a simple way understand what the good news is? So I think it's important that for the church to literally know the good news. What would I say to somebody if I only had 30 seconds in the elevator, I'm going up in the hospital, what would I say to them? If I'm working with a patient and they have 30 seconds to live and I want to tell them about Jesus, what would I succinctly say to them so that I could tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ? What would I say? Is anxiety rising a little bit yet? Right. Oh, mercy, mercy, mercy. So again, this today is all about like what might help us on this. Well, for some of us, here's some ideas maybe that you could consider. Because it's not just that you have to say it one way, but that you are able to say it in a way that works for you, but is true to the gospel. So one of the things that can be helpful for this is to go into the scriptures, go into the Bible. Some folks don't like reading, and they just don't read well. They may not know how to read at all, but boy, they can listen to an audio version of the Bible. You ever listen to the Bible like on tape or on MP, you know, something like that, digital form, and you just listen to that, and some of the folks with the voices that they get, I mean, they're amazing. You know, you just come, it just brings you into the story. It's told so well. And so being able to listen to the Bible, listen to the Gospels specifically, listen to the Gospel of Mark perhaps. Maybe if you read, to read the Gospels. Read the Gospel of Mark. That's a great place to be. From beginning to end. Won't take you a extreme amount of time, right? It's only about 16 chapters long. You can work through that pretty quickly. And then here's what I would invite you to do. Read through the gospel, listen to it, and then try to summarize what did you just hear? What is the story? And try to answer the questions. Okay, who is Jesus? What did he do? Why did he do what he did? Right? What are those answers to those questions? This is one of the reasons why here at New Hope, we have put Right Now Media into your homes, so that you can have this discipleship tool, so that you can go there and you can study and you can do it as a small group. You can do it in home with your families, right? You can do it wherever on your own. You can take the time. There's so much material in there to be able to just explore and to learn. And there's material in there to help you with the gospels and to be able to share the good news with the world. And so we're going to encourage you to keep using that. And here's one of the cool things about it. If you have a friend of yours or a family member who you think would really like to be able to use that and would be a blessing to them, they can use it for free. All you have to do is send an invite to them through, and the easy way to do it is just use the Right Now Media app. And you can send an invite to them, and they'll be able to set up their own account just like you did, and they have full access just like you do. What an easy way to be able to encourage people, especially in the season that we've been going through, because it's been a hard time. I don't know about, I mean, I know y'all have struggled, you've wrestled with it this last 6 months or so. I mean, this has been hard. It's nice to be able to have a gift, to be able to give to a friend or a coworker maybe or family member and say, hey, here, this has been really good for me. I think you might enjoy it. Would you be interested in this? You know, so it's a great tool. I want to encourage you to keep using that. You know, you certainly use it in your small groups if you want, use it in your families, use it with your kids, grandkids, right? Yeah, absolutely. Take the time. Take the time. Help one another. Know the good news. Let's help our kids to be able to grow up clearly knowing the good news. Let's help our junior high and senior high students go to school, and what is can be a tumultuous age, time of life, right? I mean, it's hard going to middle school, and it's challenging going to high school, and Oh, that they would go in knowing this is the good news. And if I'm in a hard spot and I need to remind myself what the good news is today, because if so-and-so does one more thing to me, I may not feel like I can keep from, you know, standing up for myself in a way that may not end too well. But to be able to say, I know who Jesus is, and I know what he has done, his birth and in his resurrection, and I know why he did it, and I know what that means to me, and I have peace in the Lord in this moment. Lord, help me so that I don't become an added problem in this moment, but I can be a vessel of peace in this moment because I know the power of the good news in me, and I know what the good news can bring into this moment. And Lord, I can't control the moment, and I can't control the person, and I don't know how they'll respond to this, but I know that it's worth stepping in, knowing the good news in this moment. That Lord, even in this moment, I can be about disciple making instead of even making a deeper mess. Because I respond by my emotions and my anger and my frustrations and my stresses and my anxieties. Things which typically don't turn out to be a good result. But I say, Lord, would you just help me to know and stand for the good news in this moment? Now, that wasn't even in my notes today. So that's free, right? You can have that free. That's like a little bit of dessert while you're eating your entree. Kind of good. You never know. It's a little something sweet to go, all right, fair enough. Peter said, be prepared to give a reason for the hope you have in Christ. Knowing the good news is part, is that's the hope, right? Be prepared to share the hope that you have in Christ. You need to know the good news. All right. So here's a second little piece that I would share with us. It's being intentional. Being intentional. For those of you who don't know, I have two kids. They're both here today. I won't acknowledge them because they might be embarrassed. Just kidding. No, I have a son and a daughter, and I want to just use a little part of my daughter. She started volleyball. It's all good. She's like breathing heavy. What's he going to say? No, it's actually really good. She started volleyball this year, and she had never played volleyball before. And so she's like, I want to try it. And so from the very beginning, Mom and I were trying to help her to know, okay, well, here's going to be the thing. You're going to have to put in the time to learn the rules and to learn how to play and to practice. Like, it's just not going to come to you. You're going to have to put in the intentional effort and be deliberate about learning this and practicing this over and over so that you can get it. And then you'll have more fun playing because you know what you're doing. You're getting better at it and you're contributing. This will be a lot of fun. But no, you're going to have to be intentional about putting in the work to get there so that you can be able to do all the things you got to do, right? And she did. And we're so proud of how she came along for the four weeks? It was a short season, only 4 weeks. But it was amazing to see how she did that. She put in the time, and then from when she started, I got to see her first game, and then I got to see her last game. And I was impressed at how she progressed along and how much better she was. And she knew what to do, and she knew when to do it, and she knew where to go. It was just so super cool to watch that happen. That was a proud dad moment, right? In that moment. Be deliberate, be intentional about knowing the good news. But also be intentional about going along with people on their spiritual journey in life. I want to just quickly say this. You know, when we talk about making disciples, so far I've put a lot of energy into saying, this is our responsibility. Have you picked up on that yet? I put a lot of emphasis on that. So it's probably come across as a little sort of heavy, but that's somewhat intentional. And so now I want to hopefully relieve a little of the anxiety maybe for the moment. And I want to tell you that actually God is the ultimate disciple maker. So we're not getting let off the hook, but I do want to say God's the ultimate one who is making disciples, making followers of Jesus. You and I, we get the privilege of partnering with Jesus in this work he's doing. He really is the one behind the scenes with the Holy Spirit doing the great work. And what he's done is he said, my intentional plan is to work with my church to carry out this disciple-making mission that will grow the kingdom in the world. He said, this is what I want to do, but I'm choosing you to do this with me And together, we're going to be successful. We're going to make a great impact on the world with the kingdom. But I want you. And I want to take you for a second to that verse that we were at. Can you do me a favor? Can you go back to Matthew 28, please, 19-20, and throw that up on the screen? All right, watch this. Check this out. This is about as close as I will come, okay? So, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, for those of you who are English people, and if you're an English person at home, what are the two verbs in that sentence? Real simple. It's not a trick question. Go, make, right? I mean, that's the 2-1. Okay, now, so here's the neat thing about this. When you interpret this from the Greek, the word make disciples, that it's actually one verb, okay? And it's the main verb of the sentence, which kind of makes sense because we're talking about making disciples, right? And what does a disciple look like? And actually, the verb go exists in that sentence to support the main verb, which is make disciples. What this is saying to us then is that the word go is talking and describing the way in which we make disciples. That there is this intentional effort that we put forth to go out from wherever we are, from home to the other end of the world, in this work of influencing people with the good news to become followers of Jesus. You track what I'm saying? Sometimes we say, we just got to go, and it's all about get out the building, get out of the building, da-da, we got to go. It's like, yes, but go for what? Because go serves the making disciples. We go out into the world for the cause of making disciples. Do we give a cup of cold water? Absolutely. Do we clothe the naked? Yes. Do we feed the hungry? Absolutely. Do we visit the imprisoned? Absolutely. To what end? To be influencers with the good news in the world for the cause of making disciples, that we would meet somebody in their need, point them to Jesus with the good news that we clearly know and understand, and we're doing it through an intentional choice, intentional way. Makes me think of God and Abraham. God told Abraham, I want to bless the nations through you. Isn't that cool? So I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing to the nations. And throughout generations, that's exactly what God has done. I mean, all the way through Jesus Christ. He says, I'm choosing through your descendants, I'm going to bless the world. I love that he has intentionally chosen us, that we could intentionally make choices in life that will bless other people. How many of you have a person that you work with that you, honestly, you may really not feel like blessing them because they're not a blessing much to you? Hello. How many of you have family members that you really don't want to be a blessing to because you just assume they weren't in your family? See? There you go. Out of the mouth of babes, literally. What can I say, right? If it's true, it'll preach at any age. Oh, Jesus, help us, please. All right, so what can intentionality look like if that's what we're called to do? Might I just simply kick this can again and say, putting in the time to learn the who, the what, and the why so that we are prepared to point the world clearly to Jesus, who is the hope of the world. Boy, I can't emphasize that enough. But I would say this too. Take time to be mentored by somebody else. Are you fully where you think you need to be in following Jesus, or do you think there's still room to grow? How many of you think probably there's room to grow? How about home? You think there's some room to grow? Absolutely. Fantastic. I would say that's a pretty good assessment, which means that there's probably somebody else farther along the journey than you that could be a spiritual mentor to you in your walk, right, in your spiritual journey of faith. So invite that person, prayerfully invite that person to be a mentor for you. But also look, who can I mentor? Who can I disciple, come alongside and point them to Jesus, encourage them and help them grow in their faith? Who is that person? Who are those people? Who can we work together with? In my small group, maybe in a Bible study where I know folks are going to help hold me to really just actually being accountable to the very things that we're talking about in our Bible study, in our group together, or with that mentor. Like, who's going to help me where the rubber meets the road. Because it's good to talk about it in theory on Sunday mornings. We talk a lot about the principles of what we ought to do and ideas and things that work grounded in Scripture. But there's always the point where you have to go from, here's the idea, now let me put it into practice, you know? You always have to make that move. Because that's what it is to love God and to love people. It's not just the desire, it's the will and the intentional choice to act. Those two go together. You have to have both for it to really be love in action. Work at home with the kids, the grandkids. Worship with other people who are believers in Christ and carry the same passion for this mission. You know, it's like come alongside these folks. Whether it's on site or it's online, you know, we're one church, one mission moving forward. It's okay. But worship alongside others who carry that same purpose and drive and mission of making disciples. And use those moments that you're given. Intentionally take those moments. Just slow down. I'm one of the guiltiest about this. When I'm going somewhere, I usually wait till the moment where I know it's like, okay, if I don't have any issues, I'll get there on time. And that really is one of the not great things, practices to have in life. It's better to build a little margin, to not always be pushing that deadline, to just build some margin and say, you know what, if God wants to use me, let me leave 5 minutes earlier. God, I'm available to you at any time. But maybe this 5 minutes, you want to do something that is going to take this time I have. So, Lord, I'm available. and when those moments come, you say, I feel a little, my heart rate's rising. I think this is maybe one of those moments God gave me, so I got to step in, right? And I need to take advantage of the moment that's given me. And that's why you may only have 30 seconds or 60 seconds with somebody, but to be able in that moment to know the good news, where if you get opportunity, you can clearly and succinctly share who Jesus is, what he has done through his birth and the crucifixion and the resurrection, and why he did that, so that they can hear that. See, it's up to them what they want to do anything with it, right? We all decide whether we will choose to believe or not. But we are all given moments, and so let's use them. Choose to act in the moment. Look at what's around you. What opportunities are there right around me? And for some of you, you may not be out in the working world, you know, out working in businesses, or you may be working at home a lot, or just right around, you know, a smaller group of people than some other folks. Well, that's okay. How can you use those moments in that smaller group of people that you have, and it might just be your kind of family? How can I use those moments? Moms and dads, how can I intentionally use the moments my family has to better know who Jesus is, to know what he's done, to know why he's done it, so that we are prepared to share the reason for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Can I let you off the hook again? So let the anxiety level to kind of like drop for a little bit. Who's the one that does all this work? I already said it before, but I need to say it again. Who's one that really does all the work under the surface that we really don't see or hear or know? It's the Holy Spirit, right? You're doing your part, but the Holy Spirit's doing the heavy lifting, if you will, under the surface in the hearts and the minds of people. And if you are intentional and you are uniquely you and you're able to point people to Jesus, it will be amazing what God will be able to do over time through those moments. It will be phenomenal. God will do things that you didn't even know was happening. There's been a number of times in my 15 years of ministry, and this is not about me, this is all about God. I just almost testified that this, what I'm saying, really is true. There have been multiple times where I have either been preaching and teaching from the pulpit, I have been talking to people in counseling, or I've been just conversing with somebody, right, communicating with someone, and I've been sharing with them, talking with them, and they have said, thank you for saying that. And they'll start to say what I said that really, and what they heard, and what that meant to them, and how it helped them. And I'm going, now let me think back here for a second. Okay, I didn't really say that. That way. Like, I didn't make that connection. What you're saying is true. I just didn't make that connection when I was speaking. And I know I didn't because I know what I said. And that's been teaching me over the years, God's not called me to fix people or to make anybody turn to Jesus. God has called me to talk about Jesus, to point people to Jesus, to share the good news, who he is, what he did, why he did it, and that he will do the work under the surface to draw people to him in the ways that he knows is relevant for them right there in that moment. I just have to be intentional about using the moments that I have to point people. That's all I'm supposed to be doing. And that's influencing people. Sometimes I think I do that better than others. But here's the beauty. There's been times, man, I have messed that up royally. And I was like, can I please Jesus have that moment back? Because that was not good. I could have said that so much better. It's like, do over. But yet God still used that moment. I said, I came across like a, well, just let that go. And God still did something cool in that moment. I mean, how cool is God that he can take a mess and use it for his glory? Oh, that's the same thing he did with my life. That's the same thing he's doing for you. And that's the message and the power of that cross. We're called to make disciples of Jesus, not disciples of New Hope people. So we're not making clones. We're influencing people to turn to Jesus. But we need to know the good news about Jesus because it's an act of history. No one will ever intuitively come to discover who Jesus is, what he did, and why he did it. Do you know that? Because the act of the work of salvation is a historical event. You have to be taught history. So people have to learn. How? Through communication. So we have to know the good news so that they can discover, oh, that's what he did. And in the meantime, hearing that, the Holy Spirit is preveniently drawing them to believe and to repent of their sin and to receive salvation and to follow him and go repeat the process with other folks. That's disciple making. That's what a disciple looks like in a nutshell. Jesus knew the Father's mission for his life, and he intentionally fulfilled it, and he brought others alongside him, and he said, come with me. I'm going to teach you and empower you to go do this same thing out in the world. You're not going to save people, but you're going to point people to me, and I'll save them. And so the disciples, and so fitting, we would come to communion. So Jesus with his disciples. And in that night, he celebrated the Passover. The Lamb of God was there and had bread and had wine. Of course, this is not wine in our cups today. And the scriptures tell us that on the night that Jesus was with his disciples celebrating the Passover, that he took bread and he broke it. And he said, take and eat, for this is my body, which is given up for you. And when supper was ended, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and praise to God and he blessed it. And he said, take and drink from this cup. For this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. Eat this bread, he said, and drink this cup in remembrance of me. And we do this today as an act of thanksgiving. But let's also do it as a call to discipleship. That our life is truly about influencing people in the world to believe and follow the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Let us worship together. Father, I ask that you would bless your church for the calling you've given us to make disciples. May you just please use this simple message today to guide us, encourage us, be clear about what we're supposed to be living our lives towards, to go chase after it with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us, that your kingdom may grow as we serve your mission in the world of making disciples who make disciples. I ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.